Welcome to Red Talks, a Red Viking podcast. We're committed to bold engineering, and this show brings you insights to match from industry experts and those at the front line of turnkey manufacturing solutions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Red Talks, a podcast from Red Viking. I'm your host today, Tyler Kerr. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the podcast. Today, we're discussing the benefits of industrial IoT, the interconnected network of devices that are woven together to improve the performance and efficiency of industrial processes. And Industry 4.0 isn't just about manufacturing technology. It's about completely redefining how manufacturing operations work to achieve greater circular economy and sustainable results. In fact, 70% of manufacturing executives believe their organization's long-term success requires integration of Industry 4.0 technology. But what, you know, how do you start that? How do your business go about getting started? And how would they take the first step along with that? So joining us today to discuss and answer these questions and so much more is Greg Giles. He is the executive director at Red Viking. Greg, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Tyler. Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. We are thrilled to have you on and to get your expertise. And so, Greg, first, let's just get to know you a little bit more. How did you get started in your field? And tell us a little bit more about your background.
Hey, thanks, Tyler. I grew up in Southeast Michigan, so I come from a family background of the automotive industry. My folks were product-based engineers working for the Big Three. I kind of grew up believing, that working in the automotive sector was going to be my future, and found myself as an electrical engineering student at the University of Michigan. I graduated from there and fulfilled my destiny, going to work at one of the Big Three automotive manufacturers for a stint. Not too long after that, I decided that really kind of the smaller business side was the place I'd rather be, with a little bit more hands-on focus towards some engineering efforts. And I found myself at Red Viking. So I've been at Red Viking now for 23 years, I think, 24 years about now. And during that time, I've really had the opportunity to watch a lot of advancement in manufacturing technologies, focused on, discrete manufacturing. So a lot of work with the Big Three, as well as over the highway trucks, off highway vehicles, lots of different manufacturing processes. It's been really, really cool.
Yeah, and I think that, like you mentioned, there have been a lot of changes over the years, and you've gotten to witness those throughout your time in the industry. Tell me about the evolution that's taking place right now. Obviously, I talked about Industry 4.0 in the introduction, but tell me about how exciting that is, but also maybe some of the challenges that brings as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like the changes over time is crazy. We started at Red Viking as kind of, at least when I started at Red Viking, we were really focused on kind of point-based solutions to handle a lot of challenges that customers were having in the same space that, Industry 4.0 tries to address today. But we were doing it kind of at a smaller scale, or a kind of a point-based solution kind of scale. And so now, like the desire to have more information more rapidly and more easily accessible is really a big challenge for a lot of people, and trying to understand, how they can meet the expectations of not only, their internal, but their external customers. And so that's a big challenge for our customers today. The solutions growth, just with the evolution of, everybody having a cell phone in their pocket, and the expectation that, information should be at a finger touch, really has changed the workforce as well, right? So there's not any longer this expectation that you have to dig through reams of paper, that you should have to go ask 10 people to get information or make a decision. The expectation of, managers of the workforce, of people in general, just coming off the street, is that they, can click a button, pull out their phone, find the information they need, and then even use, some handheld device or some really easy, the Staples Easy button for making a rapid decision on the plant floor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess one of the things that stands out to me is that anytime there's a big trend like this and a big shift in the way that people do things, there can be a lot of noise, right? And as a supplier, it's necessary for you guys to cut through all of that noise. So how do you help people understand what's actually impactful and beneficial versus what is just hype and someone trying to sell something?
Oh, that's a really good question. So you know, when we advise clients, we often kind of have a dating period, right, before we get involved into a project, where we really try to understand the problems or the benefit that can be realized from a system. So that, you know, as an engineer, like, you know, I can find myself guilty at times of seeing a cool widget that's shiny and silver and reflects in the sun and really wanting to implement that widget. But when we advise a customer, we're talking to real business, you know, real businesses that have real financial decisions on the line. So if there's not some problem or some realized benefit that can be found, we really advise people not to just kind of chase the shiny, but to focus where there's a need. And that need might be financial, it might be from a compliance standpoint, or it might be just from like a competition standpoint, where they, you know, a customer may know that they're not being as efficient as their competition. So with a filter applied like that, it really helps cut through the noise of all the hype and all of the buzzwords and all of the marketing that, you know, surrounds us every day.
That's a great point. And that approach really focuses a lot on understanding what your customer's goals are, right? And so you have to understand that, understand what their priorities are. And a lot of that's going to come through just conversation and communication, right? So how do you approach that process of gaining information from your customers so that you understand exactly what's going to benefit them the most?
So it's interesting because it depends a little bit upon the audience. And sometimes, you know, when we engage with our customers, we might be talking to the, you know, the production engineering team or the, you know, maybe it's the operations team. And, you know, so from the operations team, you know, often we're looking at, you know, manufacturing efficiency, and those are the things that they want to understand are, machine uptime and, you know, am I making, product at the rate that I expect to make product? And is that product quality when it comes off the line? And, you know, where are my most actionable items, you know, available? To make those types of decisions. When we're talking to, you know, maybe, you know, a product manager or a product engineer, it really comes down to more to compliance and, you know, how's my quality of my product, and, you know, can I provide a book of proof to my customer that that proves that we did what we said that we did and that parts are within spec, right? So those things, you know, kind of understanding our audience and making sure that we're applying a solution that fits the need is, you know, a really big thing, for sure.
So if a company were to get started in digital manufacturing, what's the first thing that they should implement? Where should they look first? And maybe that this kind of goes back to the previous question, but maybe it starts with understanding what their goals are, and it's going to differ from company to company. But, you know, what's the first thing that they should look at implementing?
Well, so I don't know that they should really necessarily look at a first thing. I think the first step is probably, you know, picking the partner, like looking at who they're going to partner with to go through an implementation phase. There's, you know, the first question that comes off the list is, you know, obviously the technical capability, like, right, is this partner capable of implementing a technology solution? So at Red Viking, you know, we are a company that has manufacturing systems, large-scale test systems. So we understand the plant floor, but we also understand the IT side of systems. And that's where, you know, I spend most of my time is doing the IT-OT integration. So technically, I think that, you know, we check the box in a lot of different areas. I would say that the second most important thing for a company to look at is, you know, does the partner understand your space? You know, we do a lot of work with discrete manufacturing. We do a lot of work with testing systems for drive lines and components, whether that be aerospace or automotive. You know, we don't really touch a lot on process industry, right? So if a customer comes along and, you know, maybe they're making paper or some continuous process batch manufacturing, that's not typically our strongest suit. So, you know, really understanding that the person or the company that you're going to partner with is likely going to be a long-term partner, making sure that they have expertise and then can really understand the processes and procedures and common, you know, problems and best practices in your space is super important. As far as, you know, where to go, where to start, you got to start with where there's a pain point. If if you start on something where there's not a realized value, the project likely isn't going to be received really well once an accountant takes a look at it and tries to understand how much money was spent and how much value is gained. So oftentimes when we work with a customer, they maybe I would say a mistake is to implement a little test system off in a corner where there's no real risk, but also no real value. Like that's a kind of a doomsday scenario for having a project that just wanders with no real future.
So Greg, when you talk to your customers today, what are you hearing from them, especially in regards to pain points as far as getting started on the road to this?
Yeah, so the main drivers that we hear from our customers really are kind of fall into two categories, right? The first category I would say is performance metrics. How are they performing? What can they do to improve? And basically removing those barriers to compete in today's world. The other side of the coin is that we get a lot of requests regarding compliance or driving work instruction type of information and book of proof kind of information out to their customers for like a product-faced kind of solution. So, really either, process and process performance versus product and product conformance kind of solutions. In both cases, really getting started, we need to understand what those roadblocks are or what those justifications are for the customer. First step, define the win. Like what is it that would make everybody at the end of the day say this was a huge success? We set this goal. We had these challenges, but at the end of the day, when we implemented the system, we had the information to make good decisions. We had the we had the compliance proof to give our customer. We had improved quality. Whatever that metric is, understand it up front, document it, and then come back to it to make sure that you set that goalpost of what success was. The next thing, and maybe these go hand in hand, is making sure that you have a cross-functional team available, bought into the process. When we talk about Industry 4.0 or IIoT, it is naturally a cross-section of players. So we have the folks on the plant floor. Maintenance typically has to be involved with some level of equipment updates. IT has to be updated. You're involved for either network access or possibly servers in the compute side. Operations has to understand the metrics that they're going to get out of the system or the input that will be required to run the system. So, coming in with the right team and the right goals is half the job. That once you have the team involved and the goals identified, the execution side, I won't say it's easy, but it certainly is a lot easier to perform to the plan when you know what the plan is.
I think that right team aspect is really interesting to me and something that stands out, because at least some of our conversation today has revolved around, hey, we need to prove that this works, right? From a numerical point of view, from a financial point of view, all of those sorts of things. And so do you still get questions sometimes of how do I show so-and-so, either a higher up or, people that work in accounting or something like that. How do I show them that there really is a return on investment of this particular evolution that we're undergoing? Is that a primary set of questions that you still receive on a regular basis? And maybe one of the roadblocks that a lot of customers face is, I just need to show so-and-so that this works.
Yeah, so I think that comes along with having that team involvement up front and in defining like what that is, like, because showing that it works, and we run into this sometimes, showing that the ROI is there is a tricky question sometimes, because sometimes the systems that we implement are purely ROI focused, right? We're going to put a production monitoring system in that's going to count how many good parts and bad parts and why we made a bad part. And I'm going to use that information to make more parts, right? Or make more quality parts. And that's a clear ROI, question. On the other hand, sometimes we have compliance problems where, quite frankly, we put systems in that cost more money. I hate to say it, right? But like I can, put widgets out with no compliance for cheaper than I can put widgets out with compliance. So it's a necessity sometimes. But, really, in that case, it's a minimizing the exposure to risk kind of aspect. So defining upfront what a win is really helps get everybody on board. And if we can get the stakeholders to agree upon what a win is, that really, really helps defining what a win is. The, it kind of falls into, varying demands in silos within an organization, because sometimes one silo within an organization, the quality department has a different metric for a win than what the production department has as a metric for a win. But if we can get them on the same page and, driving towards the same metric, that will typically lead to a win in the end.
Yeah, that's a great point. Getting everyone on the same page just as far as, hey, this is what a win looks like and this is what our goals are, I think is a really key thing. And I think it's smart to bring that up. And so once we get past that initial adoption phase and we have people on board and we accomplish the different things that you've talked about to this point, how can things grow and scale from that initial adoption? And how can things continue to move forward from there?
Yeah, I love that phase of a project because you know when it's going right. And again, this, I'd say kind of in two forms, this we've seen this roll out in the past, right? And so usually, I hate to say it, but sometimes in the manufacturing space, things ain't broke, don't fix them kind of mentality really comes through. And so when we initially go to project rollouts, there is frequently a little bit of pushback from one department or another. My favorite part when we're deploying a project out is when we start to see that tide change, and that can happen in a couple of ways. We've put in performance monitoring systems where the initial pushback from operations is, well, you're just trying to put an accountant watching me all the time, and you're just trying to make, you're trying to come down on me, corporate. But then what happens is they realize that the tool can really be used to help them improve their process, and that maybe that facility or that area, wherever the system was initially launched, starts outperforming their peers, whether that be, a separate factory or a separate line or a separate department. And all of a sudden, we go to roll out the second one, and the second guy starts performing as well as the launch site. And then all of a sudden there becomes like this, it changes from a pushing back to a pulling in kind of mentality, where the tide changes from like, don't come and implement that here to why aren't you here implementing that yet? Which is awesome. Like, so we love when we kind of, overcome that initial wave and get to that back end wave. We see the same thing happen with production systems, for like error proofing or traceability systems, where initially, even at the operator level, like an individual level, when we first put a system in, the operators are, hesitant to want to use the system. But then, we've seen this in real life play out where, one operator gets an error proofing system and they hate it at first, right? Because it's, watching them and, I know how to do my job is, but anyways, after a week, that operator starts realizing, wait, my supervisor hasn't come over and told me that I've done a bad job in a week. And, the person working across the line notices, hey, I'm getting yelled at every day. And, my colleague on the other side of the line doesn't get yelled at every day. I want that system. And then, that kind of, it's great. It'll spread like that. And really, it's a little bit different, but the same way it turns from a, keep that off my lawn to, hey, come install that over here, please. And that's awesome. I love when that part of the project takes place. That's super fun.
No, that's a great point. And I think that it's easy to see how that can happen, right? As you look over and say, hey, I want some of that action over where I am right now. And that makes a lot of sense. And so, Greg, as we start to kind of bring our conversation around towards the end point, I'm curious about what industries you're seeing a lot of growth in when it comes to industrial IoT. Are any growing faster than others, and what's standing out to you right now?
You know, I would say the one of the more interesting things to me going to conferences and whatnot is the answer to that question is everybody. Like, I went to an IoT conference last year. Technically, it was the year before last because of COVID. The last conference I went to, I was amazed at how many different and varying industries were there presenting what they had done in the IoT and the Industry 4.0 space. You know, my world focused around discrete manufacturing. That's what I expect to see. But when I was there, I saw people from like payroll processing companies and people from paper manufacturing and people from, you know, like banking industries, where it just blew my mind that they had found these ways to apply these technologies to their needs. I would say, you know, those companies were really focused on being leaders in their segments. And I think, you know, a common thing that really set those companies apart was that the direction was really led from the top floor down to the shop floor. A lot of times we have customers who start at the shop floor and you kind of have to push rope uphill to convince somebody within the C-suite that this is a good idea and that we spent this money and this is something that could roll out. And that causes two problems. The first is we don't get to that buy-in phase where we have a cross-sectional team that's really focused on a common win. And the second problem is that we end up with multiple solutions and differing opinions of what the truth is in different departments, because if each department is pushing rope uphill, you end up with a bunch of rope kind of being pushed into your face. The companies that seem to win, that are doing a better job than others, are the ones that have a C-suite level team or an executive level team that is setting a direction and setting a focus and driving the organization to do that implementation. And that might be a couple of different implementations in a couple of different facilities to kind of test some things out against one another. But having that focus on getting away from the operational day-to-day of what maybe is important the second and driving towards what the IoT Industry 4.0 solution could look like in the future is really important, both from a, you know, where, you know, bringing it out of the operations level where there's more time to focus on the future, and bringing the executive level team in where there's just a better likelihood that a true cross-functional team will be engaged and capable of helping. Really, really are the signals to me that there's going to be a successful project.
Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. Greg Giles, Executive Director at Red Viking. Greg, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast and breaking all of this down for us, telling us a little bit more about Industry 4.0, where it's heading, and how to get past some of those pain points in the early adoption phases. Greg, it's been a pleasure.
Tyler, it's been great. I really appreciate your time and look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Looking forward to future episodes of Red Talks. But for this one, everyone out there, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Red Talks from Red Viking. We appreciate it very much. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes. But for this one, for my guest today, Greg Giles, I've been your host, Tyler Kern. Thanks for joining us.